A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where his disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I don't know for how many years, the Sunday after Easter is always the Sunday we read about Doubting Thomas. So it got to be known as Doubting Thomas Sunday. And usually the preacher would get up there and pick on poor Thomas, you know, because he didn't believe fast enough. Right? And, you know, Jesus was kind of scolding him for not believing. He went a week, and then Jesus had to show up again and prove it to him. Well, that's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it, I think, is that Jesus, even when we're stubborn and kind of hard to convince and a little unbelieving, still has great mercy on us. And he goes to such great lengths to help us believe. And that's what he did for Thomas. It was on this Sunday in the year 2000 that Pope John Paul II canonized St. Faustina and declared this to be Divine Mercy Sunday. It would be celebrated the Sunday after Easter every year henceforth. And St. Faustina was a Polish nun in between the two world wars, and she died before John Paul II got to know her, but he was a young priest, and she had died, I think, around 1938 or so. But she had received a whole series of apparitions from our Lord, and he explained to her that his heart is full of mercy for all of us sinners. And she wrote her diary with all these revelations that caught on really quickly all throughout the church, all over the world. And Pope Karol Wojtyla, when he became Pope, was a great promoter of the Divine Mercy devotion. And at the very core of it is that God's mercy flows to us in ways we can't even imagine. And we need to put our trust in that mercy. And that mercy was poured out on the cross when Jesus even forgave the Pharisees who had put him to death. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And those words apply to all of us. His mercy extended to the good thief, the one who on the cross defended him. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He extended to the prodigal son, who had squandered his inheritance in a life of sin, but made his way back to the house of the father, and the father kills the fatted calf and celebrates. That's the heart of God. That's what Jesus came to reveal. And Pope John Paul II spoke about this over and over throughout his pontificate. That this is the way God manifests his love for us, is in his mercy. And in forgiveness of our sins. In reconciling us. And pouring out that mercy on us. So we should not be afraid. Even if we've done terrible things, even if we've got the most unspeakable sins, even if we've got habits of sin that we find so hard to overcome, God's mercy is there for us. And he never lets us down. But the image of divine mercy, with that simple prayer, Jesus, I trust in you, ought to be on our hearts every day. Because so often we're tempted to try to do it on our own, or to prove to God we're really good or holy, or and it doesn't matter to God as long as we're willing to trust in the mercy of Jesus. And that's where we ought to put our heart and all our effort. And Pope John Paul II says another thing. He says we also have kind of an exchange of this mercy. It's not just one-sided. On the one hand, Jesus is suffering there in Gethsemane and carrying the cross and being scourged at the pillar and crowned with thorns and crucified. John Paul says, we're invited to show mercy on God as well, to accompany him in his suffering on our behalf. I thought that was an amazing thought. That, yeah, we extend mercy to God in his suffering on our behalf. And then naturally, obviously, he calls us to show mercy to each other. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And if there's one theme that runs through the gospel over and over again, it's that if we want forgiveness and mercy, we need to be agents of that mercy to others. We need to extend that grace to others that are hard to forgive. The people who have hurt us badly, who have wounded us terribly. We need to forgive. As we say over and over in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That God, in pouring out his mercy on us, wants us to be merciful to each other, to imitate that mercy and love. And that's one of the things we find the hardest to do. But that's what the gospel calls us to. But I think that if we allow ourselves to experience how good God has been to us, how merciful he's been to each of us, then it becomes possible for us to offer that mercy to each other. So today I'd like to invite you to this special holy hour for divine mercy. It comes with a plenary indulgence where when you fulfill the conditions, you'll receive a remission of all the temporal punishment due to your sins. All the sins that have been forgiven, you'll wipe away all that purgatory that's due. You can attend the holy hour from 3 to 4. We'll also have confessions from 2 to 4. You pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. Go to confession within 20 days. And receive Holy Communion today on Divine Mercy Sunday. the church extends that mercy to us all. It's almost too good to be true. It's an offer you can't refuse. Oh, so come out and experience that mercy today. God wants it for you, and he wants you to be an agent of mercy for others.